This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Native.
Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rob, one pansexual, agender, feminist with a fatty, pronouns they, them, and daddy.
And Akua, pronouns she and her, a demisexual goddess. That's what I am today.
Good living. Love to see it. We have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a group episode, and Akua, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about growing mustaches and not shaving our pits.
I dig it. Two things that I do pretty well.
We are talking about combating seasonal affective disorder.
Very important.
Because it's about to get dark out here.
Yes,
it's cold.
It is
getting
dark out here.
And we're going to talk about, or we're going to answer some listener letters.
Nice. Before we get into that, we have a couple of short segments, and they are
Bae of the Week.
We talk about people who we find hot.
Hoe of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some ideas on how to take care of yourself.
And cute date idea of the week.
Where we give you cute date ideas.
I love when you do that.
It's my favorite part.
I love it though.
I know it's important that you still do it. But if you would like to follow along with this conversation had in the podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inner Hole Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag pod in so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. We do live shows. We do talks. We do keynotes. We do sex trivia. We host parties. We hold town hall discussions. We do all that. And we will do it for you.
For you.
For money.
Yes. For a fee. All right, now let's go on to
Bae of the Week.
Bae of the Week. I have two scientific bays. They're unrelated. The first bay I found is a TikToker. Not sure if you kids are using TikTok.
You're just going to TikTok our lives away now, eh?
TikTok is so funny to me.
It's a very interesting app.
But I actually found this person on Twitter. Rob, I saw that you liked it, so I know that you know that what I'm talking about.
Uh-oh.
But their name is @lab_shenanigans. And they're on TikTok @lab_shenanigans. And they're also on Twitter and Instagram @lab_shenanigans. But basically, this person is, I believe, doing their, it's a Asian man. And, but I don't know the pronouns, so I'll just say they. But they're doing their postdoc right now. And they seem to be like in the field of at least like genetics or biology or human biology. And they have this one like very nerdy video. It's just a combination of things that I really love. So like,
that was funny.
There's this clip of Nicki Minaj, and it's really random. She's like on live, and she's like looking, you know, people say wild stuff on live, and somebody says like big boobs to her, and she looks at the comment on live, and she's like, big boobs? What? Girl, anyway, child. And this person is like being like RNA as like the DNA code is being read, and then like they see it and it's like gene for big boobs, and they look at it and they're like, big boobs, what? And they like discard that bit of information.
They don't,
it's like, girl,
it.
Anyway, child. Yeah,
that had me crying, especially because that'd be real life. It's like, niggas,
that's
do
how
have
your actual
big boobs.
Yeah, that's how your actual genes
RNA
work.
RNA polymerase was like, you're,
yeah. Nicki Minaj is in all of our genes.
That was great. Yeah. That was so fucking great.
So like they do things like that on their TikTok, and they also just like sometimes they'll just like dress up in lab materials and like do like a fucking a ball walk in it or something like that. It's just like merging like silly stuff
extra
with like internet stuff and like science, and I think that's like super fucking cute.
I love it. Yeah. If anything, that will never let you forget what RNA
exactly
is.
Like some of the things that you learn, and some of the things it's just like they're complaining about like being a postdoc and how hard it is and how they like get yelled at by everybody. So that's also like, damn, Thank you so much. I too have been yelled at work. So there mm-hmm. you go. Yeah.
Appreciate you.
So that's my first bae of the week. And the second person is a woman named Nadia Mason. I'm pretty sure that she's a doctor. I'll just say Dr. Nadia Mason. Maybe don't
give it to her.
Yeah, Dr. Maya Angelou.
With honorary doctor.
Yeah.
Awarded by Idaho Uprising.
But yes. Nadia Mason is a professor of physics at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And she also is a former competitive gymnast who was a member of the U.S. national team. But she's my bae of the week this week because yesterday I joined my geneticist, Janina Jeff, who's the host of In Those Genes podcast, coming at you very soon, for a TED Talk that was at the National Academy of Science. And basically it's the first time TED ever actually put together a science only like set of events, so that was super dope. Nice. In the first place, but there was like 13 speakers and a whole bunch of people spoke about like really insightful things and things like that, but Nadia spoke and she was just like, basically like, how much do you know about the technologies that you use? Like me and Akua talked about this on live, but Akua didn't know, and I didn't know either, like how the function of you touching a touchscreen even works. Mm-hmm. And her point was like, we're kind of like slowly moving away from these things that are very, very crucial to our lives because we don't know how to engage with them beyond like what we're told to engage with. And through that, we're losing the humanity in the things that are actually meant to like enhance our humanity.
That's a good fucking point.
Yeah. So she was like she like, it was so cute. She like did all these experiments on stage and stuff like that. So like she had like two metal things and she basically demonstrated why the reason why touchscreens work is because our skin conducts electricity and that's like interacting with the touchscreen. And then she like proved that by doing like two metal things and like another piece of metal will interact with the metal, but a piece of wood won't because wood is not a conductor of electricity. And then honestly, I was really tired because I only slept 1 hour before that night, but I woke up and she was like making like a fucking like piece of metal like levitate on ice.
And it was like, a really freaky shit. Thing to wake up to.
But it was awesome. I'm like, oh shit, we doing science on stage. No, I'm kidding. I didn't fall asleep for that long. So I don't remember what that one was supposed to prove, but it was like super dope. And it was like, yeah, I mean, like, if you like take off the back of your phone and like tinker with it, it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill the phone. Like, just try to engage with these things as opposed to being like, oh, this doesn't work, let me throw it away. Or, oh, this doesn't work, let me like fucking sell it or get somebody else to fix it. Like,
or just take it apart and look at it.
Exactly. Just look. So I thought that was really cute and she was dope. So Nadia Mason.
She is Dr. Nadia Mason.
She's a doctor?
Yeah. As per Stanford University. Oh, some respect okay. on that.
Sorry,
PhD.
Dr. Nadia Mason, thank physicist you, and gymnast.
Thank you, doc.
And gymnast. Like, what?
It's a lot. But is it? We be out here. Yeah.
That's true.
Smart.
Oh, yeah. And she is a black woman. So.
Well, yeah, that's the culmination so we of already it all. Know. We do it all, baby.
All right. Let's go on to Hove of the Week now. Someone paid us this week and they also asked for something very special. So Tamika C paid us on our PayPal. And I think the day after this comes out, or perhaps the day that this does come out, is Tamika's birthday.
Happy birthday.
I feel like we should sing.
Okay.
Happy.
Oh, that's not the birthday.
I thought it was going to be the Stevie Wonder one.
Yeah, that's where I was.
I don't like, ever Rob do is that. White. Oh. I don't do that.
Why not? Like, how did that never
because
happen?
Because it's like, you literally sing like one fucking portion of the entire song.
Yeah.
I don't want to. It doesn't. There's no end. You just kind of go on until they just like dwell until away.
Happy
birthday. And then it can happen again, but it's only two times,
but
really.
But it literally just keeps going. Keeps going. But I'll do it. I'll do it.
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
See, we only did it once.
Man, fuck y'all.
I'm weak,
happy
son.
Birthday, though.
Feliz cumpleaños, Tamika.
See, all of it.
Hui, hui.
All those things, yes. Also shouting out Kitty L, who is just like using Facebook and letting people know that we post episodes on Facebook. So for the past couple of weeks now, I've been trying to post episodes on Facebook and Facebook is like, no. And I'm like, Mark Zuckerberg, I don't care about you enough to like break my back to do this. So fuck it.
You think
so,
it was a block thing?
I don't care what it is. Yeah. Honestly, it could be that. But also, I feel like Facebook's interface, at least on the browser version, because I don't have the app anymore, is not good. Mm-hmm. It's like really hard to interact with in a way that it seems like they're either purposely changing things often.
Yes, because they want you to download the fucking app.
Nope. You're tight. But yeah, I'm not doing that. So it's like hard to engage with and things are always changing. So it might be something because of that, but I'm not doing it. But Kitty L, thank you for keeping the Facebook inner hoe shit alive. Also, shout out to the people who made Occult October possible. So shout out to Ashley Blackwell, who is the owner of a website and blog and media platform called Graveyard Sisters. So I actually reached out to Ashley when I was looking to do that women in or the sexuality in horror film episode. And Ashley was like, no, that's not my alley, but you should speak to Monica Estrella Negra. And that's how we got her on the show. And Ashley also listens to this show. So I wanted to shout her out. And I also wanted to shout out X, who we went to high school with, who got me in contact with Zalika like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And here we have Zalika on the actual show.
Look at that connection.
Yes. You guys make this show possible. And then also shout out to I'm So Lovely. Akua, do you want to say why?
We were on live as we typically are before we record, and I'm So Lovely, as other people have said before, thought that I was singing a portion of the transition music with very specific lyrics.
Are you gonna sing it?
No.
Can you? Because I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
It goes, okay, let me try to get it in the tune. It goes, I'm a cool.
I'm fucking dead.
I'm a cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm a cool.
Niggas really
cool.
That's just so funny.
It gave Samantha the greatest chuckle.
It's just like, niggas really thought a cool could sing out here. Not saying that you can't, but like, we never talked about that.
The fact so that just it like, was, I'm a cool.
Yeah.
But we would just like give Akua her own segment music, and nobody else would.
And nobody else knows this, and she leaves the fucking show. We're like, I'm a cool.
It's on episodes that she's not on. It's on every episode.
But okay, even if all of that wasn't possible, if I was given music, does it not sound like something I would do?
Say I'm a cool.
Nah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
I know me.
It doesn't.
Half the time you're introduce myself as a cool and just sit down.
but that's not what you would sing. I have a little faith in you. You'd be a little more creative than I'm a cool. And if you're gonna do it, you would just say I'm a cool and sit down. I'm a cool. Like, is it? That's not how it you pronounce your name in real life.
It couldn't fit. We had to chop it.
Can we change the intro music
to that? Rob, cool. If you had your own intro music or segment music, what would it be?
It'd be they them daddy, they them daddy, and when I pull up, I'll be rolling in a caddy. Hey. And you all got a fatty, and I'ma hire your daddy so he could pay me. He's my sugar daddy, and I'ma hire you as my nanny.
Hey.
And that's not racist because you're probably white.
And that's the new segment music.
That is right there.
Me and Rodeca will work on ours, and then we'll all just have this very random.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I'm So Lovely, because that was the funniest thing I've heard all fucking week.
I got her sliding the whole. It's the whole of the week.
Huh?
I got her slides the whole of the week.
Yes, nice. It did.
All it takes is a little interaction, y'all.
All right, let's go into self care tip of the week now.
Self care tip of the week.
I'm a cool.
I'm gonna back it, boy. Making fun of their own theme music.
Shout out to Choti Ma, yes. The person who made that
you
song.
Fucking love that shit.
Yeah.
So self-care tip of the week is going to be centered around combating seasonal affective disorder, or as it's now known, major depressive disorder with a seasonal pattern.
I did not know it was now known as that.
Yeah, niggas be changing like DSM sad. And just be going about their business.
I like it better than sad, because sad is just like, tree stay today, but the other one is just like, nah, this is serious. Take it seriously.
So I am a seasonal affective disorder ass bitch, and it's been hitting a hoe hard. And I thought, let us, instead of medication, what are ways that, you know, you can, and therapy, go to therapy, y'all. But instead of medication and therapy, if you know you're not in that place, what are things you can do to help yourself? Mm-hmm. So then I thought, let's do this. Let's go at it at a chemical route. And so we're going to start with the three chemicals that are implicated in depression.
Can we start? I know we said what it is, but can we just say what it means?
SAD, or major depression with a seasonal pattern, is depressive symptoms that come with a change in season. So people with major depressive disorder can have episodes at any time of the year. What is unique about SAD is that it happens for a majority of people during the winter months, but it can also happen in the spring. You know, you your own nigga, but you notice this seasonal pattern to when your symptoms are coming on and your episodes are happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The brain chemistry that and how it's related to depression. So the chemicals in your brain that have been implicated in depression, there are three main ones. There might be other ones. We're still working on it, you know. But right now there's a lot of focus on three. There's serotonin.
Yay.
Dopamine.
Woo.
And norepinephrine.
Sick.
Words. And my thought of was like, all right, so these are the brain chemicals. What can we do to change them naturally for ourselves?
Mm-hmm. Like to have a bigger abundance?
Yes.
Okay.
So serotonin, we'll start with serotonin because there's a lot of focus on serotonin. A lot of antidepressant medications are called SSRI, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So serotonin is known as the feel-good chemical. And also the chemical for willpower and delayed gratification. And it helps you to regulate your mood. It helps to promote learning. It helps to promote memory. It helps to promote positive feelings. But it also plays a role in other different parts of your body, which I didn't know, which includes appetite and digestion, blood clotting, and sexual functioning. Aside from blood clotting, all these other things are related to depression.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Except for blood clotting.
Yeah.
So I can see that. Decreased serotonin activity can lead to inability to create and act on well-formed plans, difficulty finishing things, feeling down, getting annoyed easily, or poor like impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all things that you find when you are depressed. So low mood, anhedonia, not feeling pleasure in things. Poor appetite or increased appetite. Mm-hmm. So either you have a suppressed appetite or now you eat everything. Poor memory or trouble concentrating on things. Let's see. And sexual dysfunction comes actually from the medications. But, you know, also not having pleasure in doing things equals sex. You know, some people are trying to be fucking when they're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So then ways to naturally increase this without taking SSRIs.
Okay. You're right there, baby.
You said it right the first time.
I did. I thought I put an extra S in there.
Sorry.
I thought about what other chemicals do we put into our bodies? Food.
Yes.
My favorite too. You can actually increase it with foods with tryptophan, which is an amino acid, which is converted to serotonin in the brain.
Nice.
Is that in chocolate?
That is in turkeys.
It is in turkeys.
That's why we eat turkey for Thanksgiving.
That's what people say. That's the shit that makes you sleepy.
Yes. That's why it sounds so familiar. Full and good and sleepy.
Mm.
So tryptophan is found in high protein foods like turkey and salmon, but a lot of it in turkey. And it's best when paired with carbs. Why Thanksgiving is like the best.
Stuffing and turkey.
Come on, mashed potatoes and turkey.
And I don't eat turkey, so I'm going to tell my mom to make salmon.
There we go.
I can still feel what y'all make.
Thanksgiving salmon.
Mac and cheese and a high protein food. All of that.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah. Me too. There we go. Then other chemicals that we get, sunlight. So if you know, there are like light therapies and light box therapies for people with SAD.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting sunlight, getting out is also recommended for people with major depressive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a lot of natural sunlight can help boost your serotonin. Getting a massage. Of course, the good old exercise. Y'all gonna keep hearing exercise. So it's just
motherfucking exercise.
Exercise does make you feel good.
It does make you feel good.
But also, like, when it comes to exercise, remember I'd mentioned this before when I went to the doctor and I was telling the doctor how I was so fucking tired. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling right. And she's like, did you try exercise?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I was exercising, but now I'm too fatigued to exercise. Well, you should fucking exercise. So now that I'm exercising, honestly, for me, mm-hmm. And so it helps people. It don't help everybody. Exercise for me do not help me.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make me feel good at all. It makes me feel something at the time, but it don't make me feel good. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to point that out because a lot of it is like people harp on fucking exercise, mm-hmm. but there's so many things that are like significantly more practical that probably will actually like really work for niggas.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's preface this all with, you know, suggestions. Yes. This is not a Akua giving anyone medical
advice. No, not at all. At the end, I was going to let you know, go see your psychiatrist, go see someone. You could do your medical doctor, you can do a psychiatrist, you could do a therapist. These are just suggestions.
Yes.
Next is remembering happy events. Mm. So you trick your own mind by remembering good things.
Look at a cool smile when she's saying that.
Because I like to events. Do that.
and what even happy if it's event like, are you thinking of right now?
Nothing. Oh, okay. Nothing in particular. But
you're just smiling very wide.
It's not even because sometimes with depression, you have difficulties with your memory, so you can't like remember. Mm. But what I do when I'm feeling low, I go through my Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And I just remember I just see all the good times that I had with my friends. And I'm just like, oh, that was good. And it gives me a boost.
That's good.
Remember that these are boosts. They're not going to last forever.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably the thing to get you help get you out the bed kind
of
thing.
Yeah. And then, of course, there are supplements. And again, see a nutritionist, see your medical doctor before you start taking these things. Google it. I am not WebMD, nor am I a doctor.
You're not WebMD.
No.
Webacool.
You can actually.
I was going to do it, but I didn't. I'm dead.
Sorry.
You can take supplements like pure tryptophan. You could take St. John's Wort. There's a supplement called SAM-E.
Nice!
5-HTP. I'm not going to go into what that means. And probiotics for your gut because serotonin also works in your gut. Haha. I added this one. Lastly, laugh. This is actually what... started all of this because I've been doing what I call laugh therapy with my clients, mm-hmm. which is just making them laugh in session, whether through humor,
that's so sweet.
Banter, or like actual intentional. We are going to fake laugh till we're rolling in this bitch.
Do you like fake laugh until you actually start laughing?
Yes, we fake laugh till we start.
Can we try that
cracking.
Right now?
It's gonna go back. You see, I'm already started.
I really want to try.
It's going to go left. There we
all
go.
All right, for 10 seconds. Ready, go.
You see how quick that was? You see how quick
that
was? Your fucking fake laugh.
It was so stupid.
And that's how it starts. Because at some point you're then just laughing at how ridiculous it is, and that triggers actual laughter.
That's actually
what started this whole wormhole of this that's how we induce our own, you know, feel good chemicals.
Right.
Next is dopamine. So dopamine is the neurotransmitter that creates positive feelings associated with reward or reinforcement that motivates us to continue with a task or an activity.
Mm.
And decreased dopamine can be responsible for lack of pleasure and things and anhedonia. Lack of doing things that was once pleasurable.
Reminds me of the Jamaican artist, Idonia.
Idonia, I want a bonia.
This nigga's a lack of pleasure. I'm sorry. Okay.
You can increase your dopamine naturally by foods that contain triazolam.
Phenylalanine.
There we go. Resveratrol, DHA, folate, pregnenolone, monounsaturated fats, uridine, carvacrol. You don't know where any of these are. I'm going to list the food that got them. That's it. Almonds, avocados, eggs, nuts, soy products, berries, blueberries and cranberries to be specific. Grapes, wine in moderation. Chocolate, fish, seaweed for our vegan options. Mm. Oregano, dark green leafy vegetables, plant oils such as canola oil or olive oil, broccoli, Chinese cabbage, oatmeal.
Nice.
One note with wine, it's just grapes.
Yeah.
So you could just take out one. It's just grapes.
Yeah.
it's the chemicals are found in the skin of the grapes.
But
so people be like, oh yeah, drink a wine a day, but it's actually more beneficial to just eat the fucking grape. Because the wine is going to be a saturated version of that. Eat grapes, niggas.
Okay. But could you eat enough grapes to
get drunk?
No.
Or at a social gathering, it's like, what do you want? Vodka and soda, or do you want some wine? I'm like, I'm wine because I'm trying to increase my dopamine.
Can you eat enough grapes to equal the amount of whatever
that you find in grapes are the nutrients you find in
but
grapes.
But then also, besides grape juice. Besides the grapes, exactly. Okay. Grape juice, cranberry juice. It's just like, there's other forms. Because a lot of, I don't want to get into the tangent, but just real fast. Like, uh-huh. a lot of, like, the marketing when it comes to alcohol. Like, these alcohols are good for you. Mm-hmm. These alcohols are mm-hmm. good for you. But you can find the same things that are in those alcohols in a better concentration in something that does not contain alcohol. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, grape juice, cranberry juice mm-hmm. has the same kind of chemicals as it is in red wine, right. mm-hmm. except that you don't get the actual alcohol portion of it.
Thank you, Rob, you're welcome, Megus. For our non-drinking folks.
Mm-hmm. Save the planet.
To increase dopamine, you can avoid sweeteners, say yes to caffeine. There are supplements such as ginkgo biloba, curcumin. That did not say Althea 1 when I wrote it, but now I will not know what that meant.
Like, that's an interesting name. Sounds like a robot.
And Rob, help me.
Acetyl tyrosine,
which is a produced ready form of tyrosine you can find in a tablet, so your body can better convert it. Increase human contact by cuddling or hugging or shaking hands or holding hands with someone. I love this one. Discover new things. So like jump into a wormhole on Twitter or Instagram, browse Pinterest and get lost in the pages.
Wikipedia tab sprees.
492 tabs.
Music, it said listening to music, anticipating music, making music, all increases dopamine for you. Flex your creative muscle or do a detail-oriented hobby like drawing, painting, assembling Legos, or learning origami. I put those suggestions in there.
Yeah, I love the Legos thing.
Set small goals or make lists. Me and Samantha are some list ass bitches.
Yes.
It has been getting me through making lists because I am currently overwhelmed in all areas of my life and I have to make a list for everything. Mm-hmm. But that has really been helping me get through it. Making them list and checking that bitch off.
It feels so good to check something off the list.
And then again, of course, laugh. Listen to this podcast. Make you laugh.
Last fake laugh is so annoying.
Last but not least is norepinephrine, which is a stress hormone that helps you leap into action when something threatening is happening to you or threatening your safety. In the same way that norepinephrine keeps us alert, it also helps us stay alert and energized in smaller doses throughout the day. This comes into play when you feel constantly fatigued or tired due to depression or sad. And without it, when you don't produce enough, depression and feeling lethargic, feeling fatigued, feeling tired can occur. You can naturally increase it using foods that contain tyrosine, such as cheese and other dairy products, soybeans, nuts, and whole grains for our vegans. You can find, you can increase norepinephrine in beans and legumes, bananas, oatmeal, fish and other animal-based products, exercising for at least half an hour a day, taking a cold shower.
Yeah, we could just cut that right out.
I will never, but I understand how it works.
I also love, I helped a client identify taking a cold shower with all their clothes on as a grounding technique for flashbacks, for PTSD, which I love getting creative about these things. So yes, take a cold shower. And or sleep and get physical rest. Mm-hmm. And Money from Queer Walk did a lovely mental moment on all types of rest, which I really loved. But yeah, get some physical rest. And she'll give you ideas on how to do that.
We will link to that episode of Queer Walk in the description of this episode.
So yes, those are ways you can combat SAD or major depressive disorder with a seasonal pattern. Organically by changing your brain chemistry. Again, these are short interventions. You know, they're not going to last forever. They should not be done alone. And if you are in the space and the time of your life to get medical help, therapy, try that as well in tandem.
Yay. Hope that helps everybody. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A smile. She's still smiling.
All the dark chocolate. I will put links that Akua has provided for more information about all of this in the description of this episode. Now let's get into cute date idea of the week, where we talk about cute date ideas. And this is the cutest.
Yes, this is the cutest.
Oh,
this is your idea. I know I thought it was yours. Because you're an outdoorsy ass bitch.
Yeah. Oh, is this outdoorsy? I didn't know that.
So the cute date idea is actually not a like date, this. But it is a bakay. A vacation.
Nice.
In a bit. It's a short one where you can, a trial test run, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So you are going to book a getaway house. Mm. What is a getaway house? You can Google it. It's actual, like, it might be trademarked. It's like an Airbnb, but to lock you away and out of society for a bit.
Mm.
That's, yes. And when you Google getaway house, like, they have a website and everything, so that might be trademarked. But the whole idea of it is to help you get away for a restorative stay in nature. That's one of their taglines. And what it is like they have cabins. When I looked at the map, it's mostly on the East Coast. So I'm sorry. They have cabins in like nature-esque places. I don't want to say forests, but nature-esque places.
The outdoor world.
Yes. And you book it for one or more days. But like most people do like weekends, and the whole thing is that it is. So I was like first thinking about it. And whenever I do cute day ideas, I'm like, oh, can I bring all my friends? Because that's what I do with my life. Mm-hmm. But they were like, no, only two niggas to a cabin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two. Like they were very adamant about that. Two. So there are only two people to a cabin is you and Bae. And there's a lockbox for your cell phone. It's not mandatory, but the whole purpose of this is to break you away from society to get you to restore and reconnect with nature and have a peace of mind.
Hmm.
So there's a lockbox for your cell phone that you can lock it up for the time there. And the cabin has everything you will need besides your cell phone in there. And you're with a certain person so that someone can, you know, vouch for your safety.
Mm-hmm.
So everything else is provided. They have two queen size beds or two queen size bunks or one queen size bed. Hmm. They have a bathroom with a hot shower and a toilet. They have heat and or air conditioning. They have a kitchenette with a mini fridge, two burner stoves, a dishware so you can dishware so you can eat, cookware so you can cook, a mini library so you can read. They have an outdoor fire pit with grilling grates so you can like cook your own food or grill outside, and outdoor seating so you can sit outside the fire pit. And then they have like other provisions, which is probably like fresh foods that you can buy. So you don't have to like lug groceries up there.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was so cute was that they are pet friendly, so you can bring your pet with you and you can book for just you and your pet.
Oh, that's really cute. That sounds amazing.
you and your cat can just go. And if you do have a pup, they provide dog bowls, they provide treats, they provide waste bags for your dog. So like they're giving you everything that you need to really take a break from society and kind of just sit and chill. And I feel like this would be the best way to get to know if you can sit with a nigga for a while.
Sit with your dog for a while.
When there's nothing to like distract you from how annoying that nigga is, you will find out that day. You will find out during this weekend and decide whether this is going to be bae or not.
That's lovely.
I like it.
Looks lovely.
That's what you do right before you get married.
Yeah. Can I do this?
Like, can I live in a post-apocalyptic society with you? With no cell phone.
It's pretty important to know, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely not. You shit too loudly. You grunt every
How does one show? Okay. Like your mouth sounds? Okay. Like, is it the butt sounds? Because you really can't.
Because you can't hear anything else because you're fucking nature. So it's just literal shit sounds. It might be a deal breaker, you know?
One thing I want to say about this is that I like the nature, the setup of the cabin. So it has like that big outdoor window. So you're not actually in just this box. You're in this box and you're literally looking directly at nature. So I don't know. So this actually is similar to when I went to Camp Love Honey.
Oh, that okay.
At a place called Gather on the Green. It's a similar concept. It's not through Getaway. I'm sure you can find a whole bunch of other houses like this. But that also had like a really big window. And it's just you looking at nature.
Without kind of scary. Being.
Yeah, but you're not in there. And then also like. You're facing a cliff, so technically nobody should be like back able to there,
see. And you can't see any bears.
I don't know.
Deers.
Depends on where you are.
So I'm sorry. That's all I'm thinking about. It's like a fucking deer running to the fucking window and shit. Like, I don't know.
That could happen.
I'm sorry. My imagination's out of control.
And then you drop down your curtain and then you don't have to see anymore if that does happen.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I think that's cute. And that's another place that you can look for a getaway house.
When I looked at October, it is a bit expensive. Not a bit. It's a lot of expensive. It was like $239.
Not all ideas are for everybody.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But $239 for a night or a weekend? Or
I didn't click for further details.
Okay.
Interesting. But I'm thinking a night, yeah. Because hotels will do that. It's like $239.
Get you that nigga with some money.
That's a fact.
Save
man.
Up. If this is before your wedding, you really need to test it.
Pre-honeymoon.
Yeah.
Not the honeymoon. It's too late.
No, the pre-honeymoon. And then you get motherfuckers to donate to that shit through, what is that? I'm not going to shout them out. Register or whatever. Yeah, do your registry. Donate to my pre-honeymoon to see if I actually want to marry this nigga.
It's the breakup trip. The bake-up trip.
Goodbye.
Yeah. This could also be like a group couples thing.
Oh, yes, if you all rent a cabin.
Yeah. Okay, let's plug some events now. Coming up November 24th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Cafe Con Libros in Brooklyn, New York, is an event called Bad Bitch Affirmations Affirming Our Sex Lives. And that is going to be hosted in part by our homie Queen from the Tea with Queen and Jay podcast and Vanessa from the Vagisteam podcast. This event is in collaboration with Miss Vixen, Queen's brand, and their In Real Life workshop series. And it is also hosted by Vanessa of the Vagisteam podcast and their Vagisteam workshop series. About 40% of folks with vaginas and vulvas say that they are not confident in the appearance and size of their vaginas and vulvas. Society often makes us feel that there is something wrong with the looks, appearance, and even smell of our own bodies. Through the use of props, trivia, and open discussion, participants will engage in a series of activities that will leave you empowered, intrigued, and ready to explore your body. Vagisteam workshops were built on the idea that if folks love what's below the belt, they are more likely to care for and bring pleasure its way. So definitely attend that. You can find the link to RSVP in the description of this episode. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break to read a message from our sponsor. This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Smelling Good as Hell. Do you want to add something safe, simple, clean, non-toxic, and that smells good to your daily routine? Now, obviously, we're not talking about any man that we've ever known. Very sad. But we are talking about Native. Native is a natural deodorant that is filled with ingredients found in nature like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch. But it is also formulated without all the toxic stuff like aluminum, parabens, talc, and toxic masculinity. Native is literally a breath of fresh armpits. As someone who sweats like nobody's business, it's important to me that I take measures to still smell good. And with Native, not only do I smell great, I smell like a delicious snack, which is truly what I am, so how fitting. I also have the peace of mind in knowing that I'm not putting anything toxic onto my body and that I'm using something all natural. And people love Native, not just me. They have over 9,000 five-star reviews, and Native comes in a wide variety of enticing scents for all folks like coconut and vanilla, which is the most popular scent, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. Plus, they release new limited edition seasonal scents throughout the year, so maybe you can even smell like Thanksgiving. They also offer an unscented formula and baking soda free formula for those with sensitivities. The best part is that there's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in America. And Inner Hoe Uprising listeners, that's you all, get a special offer of 20% off your first purchase. Just visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code IHU during checkout. Once again, just visit nativedeodorant.com and enter the code I as in inner, H as in hoe, and U as in uprising at checkout. Now back to the show.
Pay a hoe.
If you love, love, love this show and appreciate the hard work that we do to bring it to you every week, we would so greatly appreciate it if you supported us monetarily and non-monetarily. To support us monetarily, we ask you to visit innerhoeuprising.com and choose the Pay a Hoe Once or Pay a Hoe Monthly options. Pay a Hoe Once redirects you to our PayPal, where you can drop off any one-time donation at any amount that you want as many times as you want. So that takes you to paypal.me/innerhoe. It's kind of like we're fuck buddies and we just call each other up when we want to satisfy that itch. If you choose the Pay a Hoe Monthly option, you'll be redirected to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. On Patreon, you'll be given the option of setting a monthly recurring donation at any price that you want. And we'll return the favor with some monthly goodies, like we're in a committed relationship and we have some expectations for one another. So if you donate $2 or more a month, you get early and discounted access to Inner Hoe Uprising events. And if you donate $5 or more a month, you get, fuck that, a regular Inner Hoe Uprising newsletter curated by yours truly. It's fun, it's insightful, it's filled with offbeat stories about sex, love, and dating that you may have missed in the current drudgery of the news cycle. If you're strapped for cash or don't wish to support us monetarily, then there are other ways to help us out. You can leave an Apple Podcast review or a Stitcher review. You can comment on one of our episodes on SoundCloud or CastBox or Himalaya. You can tweet about us and tag us on Twitter or Instagram. You can reply to Twitter threads asking what your favorite podcasts are with our @. You can drop a link to your favorite Inner Hoe Uprising episode in your group chat. You can tell your work best friend to give us a listen. Or you can walk down the street rocking some Inner Hoe Uprising merchandise, which you can find on innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. Now let's hear Akua sing the intro to getting on to the rest of the show.
You gotta do it. You can. I'm gonna clap for you.
I'm a cool.
All right. Thank you for singing that, Akua and Chotima. let's go on to our first segment, which is called
Fuck That,
our current events segment. Akua's got something interesting for us.
Yes. So November, this is the first episode of November, is going to be our Gender November series.
Gender November.
Tell the people what we're doing in Gender November, Samantha.
We are exploring intersections of gender outside of the cis normative gender binary.
So I was looking for current events to match that theme to get y'all ready. Razor Brand argues that men aren't the only ones who should grow their mustaches.
Mm.
So Billy, which is a funny name, Billy is a quote unquote female first subscription based razor company.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't find on their website how long they've been around, but they sell you razors and shit.
That's their tagline.
Yes.
We sell you razors and shit.
And they're most notable for their campaign called Project Body Hair, in which they were the first razor company of all time to showcase images of women with actual body hair, and like in their commercial, like in their advertisement, in their promotion. Yeah. And it was at like all body hair, underarm, legs, happy trails, your mom pubis, everything, and actual people shaving in the commercial.
Yeah, not those fucking commercials where it's just them dragging a razor across their naked skin.
Or their fucking shoulders.
There's nothing ever there.
So they are starting an initiative to include women in the Movember movement.
Mm-hmm.
So Movember is a non-governmental organization established in 2003 by some Australian niggas.
Crikey.
In Australia. And the whole purpose of Movember is that it recruits men to participate in not shaving for the full month of November and growing their mustaches, specifically mustaches, not beards, not goatees, no other facial hair, specifically the mustaches, to raise money and spark awareness for prostate and testicular cancers, men's mental health, and suicide prevention.
Okay.
The people at Billy decided that they were going to harp on the fact that women have body hair to include the fact that women have facial hair, and they're matching 100% of contributions, people who join their team, up to $50,000 in this effort for Movember to raise money for men's health and mental health issues. And it broke out because they had a video in promoting it that showcased women with actual mustaches.
Yeah.
And depictions and stories of how women have always had mustaches, but we've gone through great lengths between waxing, shaving, laser technology removal to remove our mustaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I really actually enjoyed that video.
I had to watch it.
I've linked it there for you.
Thank you. I will link it in the description of this episode.
That is pretty much it. That is the whole story.
Okay.
That is the whole story. Women got mustaches.
Yeah.
My issues with it was both companies seem very cis and binary based.
Mm-hmm.
Like just their websites, the language that they use, and their campaigns and their conversations erase non-binary people, intersex people, trans people.
Okay.
Like on Billy, their words literally are female first. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay. I'm like, okay, that's a weird way to like brand yourself. But then they'll go on to say, we support womankind, but always use the word female body. Mm. Like, that's not all women are female. Mm-hmm. The people they use, the models that they use, though I am for showing people in their natural state, mm-hmm. all the people are light as fuck. Like, just light as hell. Just, and it's like these light skins against like these pink backgrounds, which is like, I don't see anyone that is as dark as me or has body hair texture like mine to see shaven.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like you told me, like black women with like the curly chin hairs, mm-hmm. curly neck hairs and stuff. They didn't have any of that, I presume.
No.
That'd be the real shit.
And then on to the people who do Movember. They're also very cis man based. Mm-hmm. Like not just men have testicular cancer or prostates. Mm. But they have like the rules on how to participate. Rule number 5 is each Mobro must conduct himself like a true gentleman. What the fuck does that mean?
Means you gotta inflict patriarchy upon everybody who's like, ever existed. What? Duh.
Now, I'm all here for, you know, supporting these initiatives because their causes are great. They mm-hmm. are, you know, they fit cis binary people and they are people too. Mm-hmm. We should support that. But what we are doing mm-hmm. with Agenda November is fucking shit up over here.
Yay, rabble rousers.
We including our intersex folks. We are including our trans folks because these campaigns completely miss the mark of intersection. Mm-hmm. Race, gender, body expression, all of it. Mm-hmm. Just missed it. And hopefully we can add to that or we can fit in these gaps if these guests answer us.
We certainly do hope these guests answer our emails because we would truly love to hear it.
We would truly love to represent it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was it.
Nice.
It's our current event.
Yeah, I feel like these companies, you know, an attempt was made and that's what they do. And then
where we start.
People critique and hopefully they listen and then hopefully things grow and learn. Y'all be shaving y'all mustaches?
Mine was never that dark. That was never that deep. What's the word I'm looking for? Dense?
Pronounced.
Yes. To shave.
When I was younger, like younger by like maybe 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. I never had like a mustache. I don't really have a lot of body hair. Mm-hmm. Except like in the body hair, real dense places kind of thing. But I knew that I had hair on my mustache area, mm-hmm. even though I can see it. And I was so self-conscious about having a fucking mustache that I shaved it. I shaved these fine little non-existent fucking hairs off of my face and cut my face to shreds. Oh, God. Like a dumb ass child. But mm-hmm. then again, it's like, was I dumb?
You were a child.
Or was I really, because that was at the point where I was like trying to like shave my eyebrows, like trying to fit like societal standards of like feminine beauty to the maximum. I was really like also heavily idolizing Jennifer Lopez, who had absolutely no body hair. I don't know, don't ask me, but
we be going through some times.
Yo, it was when Jennifer Lopez was popping. Okay. She was like a big star. I don't know why the fuck I was so drawn to her, but
because she was, they threw her at you in saturated forms.
It was a lot of Jenny from the Block, and mm-hmm. she was from New York, so it was a really big deal. But yeah, I shaved the mustache I didn't have, and then they were like, it's gonna grow back thicker. Like, then I thought maybe I shaved it because I wanted it to grow back thicker. And because I always wanted a mustache deep down inside. But mm-hmm. I was like, what if I actually got it? I don't know.
Okay.
Mustaches are kind of cool.
Did it grow back thicker?
No. I just had a fucking cut all over my face.
Sorry. I believe that's actually a myth. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not certain about any of this. If you are a scientist who studies hair.
I'm a dermatologist.
Let us know. Yeah, I have a mustache. I never shaved it. I don't give a fuck. I don't think it's that dark. I pluck my chin hairs when I feel like it, just because I like stroking my chin mm-hmm. and I don't like the feeling of straggly hairs.
I play with my my beard and my chin hairs while in therapy with clients.
You're a literal therapist?
Yes. Yo, it'd be fun. Let me call one right now.
That's wild. Should I get you a monocle? Are you kidding me?
No, you should. You're Are you Freud?
I'm kind of jealous.
Oh, you don't have under chin hairs?
My fucking face is bare.
Could change.
I would love
your body chemistry could change. Let's see when you hit 30
and be like, yo, I got all these fucking chest hairs, man. Be careful what you fucking ask for, man.
You become Teen Wolf.
I have what is it called, taco meat.
I've never heard of that before.
Taco meat.
That's what they call like like little patches of like curly ass chest. They look like taco meat.
Who calls it that?
Wow.
Army niggas.
It's like I've never heard anything in that vein before. I've never heard that,
but now I like it.
Don't talk to men.
I never was like aware of the hair on my upper lip until I started waxing my eyebrows.
And she was like, oh, you trying to do that?
It would always say mustache too. And I was like, ma'am.
Yeah, they've been doing that to me since I was like 12.
But they did that to me, and I don't got a mustache, so that's also marketing. Money. It's just fucking.
They're just trying to get you. They're
trying
yes.
to make you self conscious, so you fucking pay extra $5.
You gotta wax that lip. Whole beard, bitch.
You hairy motherfucker.
You want me to take care of that taco meat?
I could do the whole chest for $5. Yeah. You fucking hair.
Okay, let's go on to our next segment now. It is called
Fuck Me.
And it is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
So I'm on Zoloft now and I have no sex drive and I'm sad. I don't think about sex. I don't have an urge to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not horny.
When did you get on Zoloft?
It's like 3 weeks, or 2 weeks. But still, it's like I could feel it. Declining, and I also could say maybe it's because I've been like super duper fucking busy.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I have found time to squeeze in.
Yeah, I was like, you a masturbating ass nigga.
Yeah,
so.
I'm a masturbating ass nigga, man, because it don't take long. But it's just like I get in the bed and I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna jerk off. But then I just pick up my phone. I just be scrolling. And I'm like, oh, I'll just go to sleep. I like forget because it's like I don't care,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I'm okay with it. But also, it's like. I'm okay with it now because A, my boyfriend don't live here. So it's like, it is what it is kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, I am mad busy. I'm about to start the academy in about a week. I already kind of started the process and the academy. And it's just the wildest fucking ride. The wildest ride. The stress levels are high. The weight has been lost because niggas is not eating enough right now. It's just been crazy. And so I'm like, oh, it's whatever. If I'm not horny. But then I'm like, the scaredness of like, what happens when everything comes back down?
Mm-hmm.
I hope my sex drive comes back because I wanna fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I want to fuck. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But yeah, so yeah, I went to the doc, said I had anxiety, symptoms of PTSD. So I didn't want to get on medication, but I did because she said that it would help my fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
And my fatigue is like the thing that I hate the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't cry at South by Southwest, but I think I had like a partial nervous breakdown because I kept falling asleep.
You did fall asleep a lot.
Yeah, and it was annoying because I'm like, I wanted to stay up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We were watching that cool ass movie on fucking CRISPR and I could not stay up. And that was just how it's been for months, just forcing myself to stay awake kind of thing. So she's like, it's going to help with the fatigue. She's like, people who are anxious are tired.
Mm-hmm.
People who are depressed are tired.
Mm-hmm.
I knew people who were depressed were tired. I didn't know people who were anxious were also tired. And I was like,
but
oh.
When your body is like constantly firing, that causes like actual fatigue when your nerves are like always shooting.
Mm-hmm. It's just it makes sense. When she said it, I was like, duh.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's something that you don't think about because also you're just fucking anxious. So it's like, why would you think, oh, maybe, you know, you're thinking that you might actually be fucking dying. Like, what's wrong with my liver? Is my liver okay?
My liver.
Because I went to the doctor. I was like, can you check my liver?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I think that I have cancer or something because I am so tired and this is not fucking normal. She's like, bitch, everything's fine. I'm like, but is it?
Your liver is gone.
You have no liver.
You never had a liver.
They've literally been drinking alcohol and it goes straight to my fucking kidneys.
It's white claw in place of your liver.
It's two white claws.
It's a bit early, but would you be interested in like or try to like switch now?
Nah. Only because I don't have time.
Mm-hmm. To make the appointment?
Mm-mm. I don't. But she also told me, she's told me to give it 6 months. She's like, you can say 30 days, you can say a month, but I want you to give it 6 months, 6 good months before you say that this isn't for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and it makes sense for me, especially because my life is going to go through so many transitions that, I'm not going to be sure what's going to be causing what. at some points, like, is this a normal reaction or is this like a reaction to the medication? Because I am entering probably, I'm not going to hold you, this has been the most stressful point of my fucking life because it's consistent stress, consistent busyness, consistent worry, consistent deadlines. Yeah. A consistent, very long and extreme transition. And then also transitioning still, like, I really, this breakup is still kind of new. So transitioning to being alone is also very difficult as well. So
can, like, you clarify which breakup you're talking about?
Oh, my fault. Breakup with my ex a couple months ago, not the guy I'm with now.
And by alone, you mean physically alone?
Physically alone, because my boyfriend now lives in Texas. My ex lived in Brooklyn, so he was always at my house. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to constantly cook, constantly clean, constantly do everything because I had help. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going through this stressful time, but it's just me in my fucking apartment. And then for the other 2 months, it'll be a lot more calm. And I can probably, from the beginning of me with no medication and not under stressful situation, and then me with medication and no longer in a stressful situation, I can evaluate whether or not the medication actually is helping. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm chilling because it's not like, you know, the sex is like, the sex drive is one thing, but that's something that has always happened to me when I was on, no matter what medication that I've taken before. Mm-hmm. It's just my sex drive always just kind of dies out. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm an adult and I understand how orgasms kind of work and how pleasure works, I'm sure that when the time comes, if my boyfriend is here and I do feel that way, we're gonna work around that. Because mm-hmm. We spoke about that too, because he's on medication, so we're like gonna be having like similar problems. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't think that it's gonna be end all be all though.
Well, definitely not. There are ways to foster sexual intimacy without, yeah, you know, PMV or PNA or P and, yes, anything.
Yes. So, and I'm sure we're gonna figure that out.
Yeah.
I mean, and even if it is PNV, it's like, if niggas don't nut, niggas don't nut.
Yeah. That doesn't have to be the goal. You're right.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm, like we cross the having babies bridge when we get there kind of thing. But we just chilling for right now. But in general, like with the therapy and just the promise of medication helping, I've just been feeling a lot better.
Nice.
A lot more calm, a lot more confident. Especially knowing for a fact that things are happening, I don't feel so fucking lost and like, what's gonna happen next? I think my relationship has gotten a lot stronger since the last time we all spoke about it. Just because I did do the boundaries thing, and I was also like, don't be fucking yelling at me, bitch thing. And but we're being very communicative, and yeah, it's been nice.
My fuck me is actually the opposite of Rob's. The bitch, dead, is trying to fuck.
Wow.
Switch is fucking alternate universe.
So this actually came about because a bitch is about to be a licensed therapist soon. My actual thought was when I get my license, I need sex. Like, I need that needs to be my reward.
Okay, wow.
And it's not like I've been holding out for sex to get this degree. Like, that's not the reward. But, like, I was very used to, when I was sexually active, sex was a reward. Sex was a release. Sex was, like, a good thing. It wasn't, like, a chore. So it was, like, I've actually been without sex in the same in the same amount of time as my journey towards licensureship. So, like, the two have to come at the end. Like, they both have to meet.
They have to come.
So then I was thinking, I'm still burnt out from dating. I don't want to date these niggas. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want that emotional attachment with anyone. So I was like, how does one hire a sex worker,
mm-hmm,
without Backpage or Craigslist? Mm-hmm. That is an actual question.
You can find some on Twitter and follow their contact information.
Oh, you're right.
You could also ask sex workers that you do know.
Yeah. Honestly, like, if you, for example, start on Zuri's page, you'll, mm-hmm, like, it's the wormholes we speak of. There's, like, wormholes of sex workers, both, like, men and women, non-binary, black, mm-hmm, white, whatever. Like, literally everybody is connected to her because they just, like, retweet each other's shit. So, mm-hmm, you'll be able to find anybody, to be honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That stumped me. And then, where the mental wormhole started. Would I even enjoy, like, I thought, let me hire a sex worker because I need to have sex with someone who is going to make it their job to pleasure me and not themselves. And they're going to be experienced as fuck. So it's going to be lit. But will I enjoy it? Because I really don't be enjoying sex with people unless I like you.
Well, a part of their job would be to foster that, you know, like you would pay them to like maybe go on a date with you or maybe hang out with you before you fuck.
And now I'm stalking them on Facebook. I don't. So that's where it went, because I thought that. And
I'm confused.
Exactly. So
that's
the end game.
That's what happens after that. That's the date and the sex.
Why are you doing that, though?
She's in love.
So I thought because my emotional attachments tend to be very intense and very irrational.
Okay.
So that's part of the reason why I'm not trying to go back on nobody's date nap and talk to no nigga or keep someone in a rotation, because I know that even as I can sit here and logically think it's not going to end well, my attachments are very intense and very irrational. So I already see that. And I was just like, I don't want to end up being attached to this sex work, especially not having sex in months. And the emotions and the chemicals that come with it, I can see this going left. And now I am stalking this person or like creating this fantasy of them and trying to make something out of it that doesn't exist. Like, I know my brain's going to go left.
Okay.
This, like, I miss fucking, but I'm not talking to anyone or even trying to get back in there because I'm fine with being by myself. But then thinking about, what do I do sexually then? Knowing that I attach myself to people so intensely, am I never gonna fuck again? like it felt like identifying as demisexual became like this curse or like this nail in the coffin. Like, well then, bitch, it's either you prepare yourself to venture out there and attach to someone or you not fucking. And that feels kind of hopeless.
Aww.
I miss sex. And it's like, I miss the behaviors that come with sex. Like, and I start like dissecting these things. Like, I miss someone like worshiping my body in the act of sex or like in the act of foreplay or looking at me lustfully or sending nudes or genital pics or... Like, I miss all of
genital
these.
Pics.
Genital pics.
I don't know why. I guess it's a general genitals.
Yeah, general genitals. That's because you can send me your vulva if you want to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, is this it? This feels like this is it. Like, this feels like I'm not going to be fucking. Because I have no faith in any of these niggas, male, female, non-binary, anymore. Like, I don't. I just don't. So it's like, dang. We not gonna be fucking. Like, that's just the question I got. We not gonna be fucking. So to remedy that, I was thinking I am gonna find someone to fuck me after I get this license, because I have my fucking dessert.
Okay.
But in the meantime, before that, I got a couple weeks to a couple months, kind of really unpacking my attachments to people and de-intensifying it to something that's a bit, I don't want to say normal, but like
more manageable.
Yeah. And that means I'm ethical.
Healthy, maybe?
Healthy words.
I just could not find that word.
I'm sorry.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that means, that might mean going back into therapy and like really deconstructing that for myself. But that's where I am now.
Okay.
I could feel it.
I doubt that it is it. I don't think that you're never going to have sex ever again.
Yeah, I just don't. That too.
I don't foresee that. But
also a tidbit.
Seems like it is going to take like labor.
It is.
But labor, that's good because you like sex.
Yeah. So I like to grow as a person, you know?
Yeah.
I got to learn to form, you know, healthy attachments to people. Another thing, I didn't write this down, but I thought about it when I was driving. I low-key came out to my son as queer.
Aww.
We were walking to school. Oh, it's not aw. It's going to get sad.
Oh, no.
We were walking to school, and he was talking about... My son asks the weirdest questions. Yo, I don't know what he'd be thinking.
He's weird.
Yeah.
Good way, but he's weird.
Yeah. I love it because that was weird. Yeah. He asked about me marrying, would I marry Rick, my ex, or would I or would I want to do something else absurd or something like that?
Oh, I thought he said the word absurd.
No, not absurd. That is, wow. No. He is weird.
No, not do that. Some other ridiculous shit.
But yeah, something. And or would I like him or something like that? And I was, or would I like something? And what I really said to him was, well, like, I like everyone. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you like everyone? I was like, yeah, I like everyone. And he was like, even girls? And I said, yes. And then he said, ew.
But was it ill? Like,
yeah, was it like
girls?
Exactly. Like cooties?
I don't know.
Boys still do that shit. Girls.
I don't know, because by then we had reached the school and then the day went by and I didn't revisit it. But then when I thought about it in my driving, I was like, I have to revisit that with him.
Yeah.
And figure out what he
what
meant
was
by
the
that.
Source of the ill.
Yeah, what was the source of the ill? It felt a little homophobic, but maybe I was putting
was
that
it
on
like
him.
A long ill, or was it just ill? You know, some kids sometimes yeah. kids are just like, and they walk away.
Because kids are fucking weird.
It was kind of a long, it was a moderate ew. It wasn't like, very ew. Short, like, oh, you like people? Because he's never been ew about me liking men. Mm-hmm. Like, all these questions are, will you marry this man?
But
will
he,
you marry
is he ew
that
about
man?
Girls?
No, he likes girls. He had like three, which just is a problem.
He had three girlfriends?
Yes.
Because you said he had three.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
So I was like,
he had three girls? Did he take them and hold them against his will? No. He owned had three quote-unquote yeah. girlfriends, which are, one is his online girlfriend, Vicky. She actually likes him back, so they're in a relationship. But there was another girl.
Such a cool mom.
There was another girl that another classmate that he would like always call his girlfriend, and she was like a little iffy about her boundaries, so I was like, leave that girl alone, because none of this seems healthy. But yeah, so yeah, it was kind of a ew, like, oh, you like girls kind of thing, because I don't ever get that reaction from like me liking men. So I gotta go back and unpack that with that boy.
Okay, hope that conversation goes well.
A pretty mature child, so I feel like that wouldn't be like the harder conversation.
Mm-hmm. How would you broach that? I'm just curious.
How would I broach what?
The conversation.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm you thinking about that. So you said ill,
you
motherfucker.
Said ill.
Yeah. You said your little shit. You said fucking ill. Explain your motherfucking self. Right. Shut the fuck up when I talk to you.
She gets on Twitter like, Dave is canceled.
Cancel Dave. I have no child. Oh, I'm childless.
This 10-year-old was homophobic and y'all still stand for him. No.
I'm tired of this shit. Men are fucking trash, including my fucking son.
Dave R. Trash.
That's not his podcast. His podcast is not kids doing a podcast. It's Dave R. Trash.
Oh, man.
Said just by kidding, mommy. Dave. And when you hear this, when you're like 20 years old.
I'm going to be 20 like, you are what? Wow. Y'all call me a little shit?
Sam, open the fuck up. I heard things were said.
Open the fucking door. You're like 50. Because like I don't even podcast.
I'm gonna be a calm 37.
A calm
don't age
37.
Me, nigga.
50. We're just going to 50.
Oh man,
because we're gonna be archived, you know.
Yeah, oh, I have to think on how, because the literally came. So I do a lot of mindfulness as I drive, because it's one of the activities where just my brain does without me doing. It's a lot of muscle.
You said
memory.
Mindfulness a lot. Can you define that for the listeners?
All right, so mindfulness is a mental state achieved by focusing one awareness on the present moment while calmly acknowledging and accepting one's feelings, thoughts, bodily sensations, and is used as a therapeutic technique. When I say mindfulness, it's that so I have a lot of anxiety around things that I do or things that I say, and then I think, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Or I have flashbacks of very weird moments in my life.
Oh, my God.
Right. That I then just get very cringy about. Like, oh, bitch, you said in instead of at. Like,
how did you speak English? Remember that?
Yeah. And
that's the part. Like, how do you fucking even remember these moments?
I hate when that happens.
It should annoy the fuck out of me. And then it just spirals me into this anxiety-induced thing of like people think I'm dumb and I just be going. So I started doing that. That came about when Money from Queer Walk was talking about being mindful to trap music, and I was like, oh,
I remember.
Because mindfulness is always like packaged to you as do yoga or sit silently or meditate. Mm-hmm. And those things weren't for me. So when Money brought that up and I was like, I could do that, you know, doing anything. Mm-hmm. I realized that happens when I'm driving and it's when I'm driving familiar roads. Like I know the way to Samantha's house with my eyes closed. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just go inward and I kind of just start reflecting and I bring up these thoughts to then like kind of address them without the judgment that comes with my anxiety or like then spiraling into these very maladaptive thoughts. Mm-hmm. So that's what came up. I guess I had like buried it in there. And it came up while I was driving and I was like, okay, but I never but then I was here and I got out and didn't really think about, all right, so what are the next steps that did happen? How are we going to, you know, figure that out?
I see.
So then I have to go back and figure out.
And drive back to Samantha's house.
It's just going to be constant trips to Sam's house. Whatever. As I think.
That's
fun. Okay. Sexuality teaching.
I think it's going to be fun. Not like, oh, this is so fun addressing potential homophobia in my son, but like you're about to like open his mind up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I enjoy things like that when it's like someone who's not violent. I don't think he's going to have a violent reaction.
No, he's not going to be violent. But then I was just like, then my anxiety thoughts came and it was like, how does homophobia, like how do these things just seep into my child as I try so hard to keep them out? Like, dang. Mm-hmm. Thought we was doing good.
But you can't block out society.
You can't.
Like yeah. There's literally only but so much you could do when it comes to that. Because he goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
He got to talk to these other motherfuckers. So.
And I thought about that. Like, I had internalized all these things when there wasn't any talk of it in my house. I, like, just picked up all of these really homophobic things as a child and then had to do the work to unpack them and deconstruct them myself. Mm-hmm. So it just happens. Like, kids are sponges. They just pick it up. And unfortunately, the society is just fucked. So like they're picking up all these things and someone has to come and speak to them about it and like help him deconstruct that and unpack that before he's a lot older and doesn't want to do the work and it's just violent.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then I gotta fight him.
No. Beat my old son's ass. Square up. Here, you fucking piece of so let's go on into
Fuck You,
the segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. If you would like to ask for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com, and don't forget to include your pronouns. Okay, this is from Avery, pronouns she, her, and the subject line is scratching the itch but staying faithful. Hello, hoes. First, I want to say that I love the podcast. I've been listening for the last 2 years, and you have helped me within my sexual journey with finding my kinks and being aware of my own sexual health. So I have a bit of a conundrum. I've been dating my partner for the last 6 months and it has been like any other relationship. We have our fun and little issues with communication. What attracted me to him was his honesty / bluntness, knowledge of what he wants, and that no bullshit mentality. To give you a bit of context about myself, I have not dated someone since 2011 because men are trash and I have been more focused on my education than on men's bullshit. Until February, I linked with this guy on a dating app, and it seemed like we had a very good connection through text messages. On our second date, we went to a wine bar, and we were vibing and connecting until he had something to tell me that made other girls leave in the middle of their date. This had scared me initially and made me think our connection was too good to be true. He tells me that he is a virgin and wants to save himself until marriage. At first, I was shocked, and all I could do was laugh and ask him what the real secret was. He looked at me seriously and stated that he really was a virgin and asked if this would be an issue later down the line. He states that he is sapiosexual and that porn and seeing women naked has never done anything for him. With this realization, I was shocked, but his virginity and waiting until marriage would not be an issue for me because I didn't have sex from 2011 to 2018. Fast forward to now, and we are both high school horn dogs with a constant need for dry humping. It seems very constant, and every time I leave his home, I need to go home and change my underwear and get my sexual fix with one of my favorite vibrators. Over the weekend, after we had our dry humping session, he mentions to me that he has been conflicted with giving up on his promise to himself and God, because having sex with me is very tempting. or he's very tempted to have sex with me, I guess that means. He mentions that he feels like a villain when we have to stop with the dry sex because he knows I want more. When he said this, my heart dropped. I did not want him to break his promise to himself and God, and I don't want him to feel like a villain. I expressed this to him, but literally right afterwards, we ended up having another steamy session to the point where he had to push me off. I excused myself right after and left his place without a word. Another word. I feel really bad and want to show him that I am okay with not dry humping anymore or do anything that might tempt him to break his promise. We have spoken after this incident and it seems like everything is fine. However, now that I know he has been feeling this way, I don't want to fester and make him feel even more worse about himself and pressured to have sex with me. What do you suggest I do to show that I'm serious about this relationship? How do I show him that he isn't a villain for trying to keep a promise that he made even before he met me? How can I satisfy my own sexual hunger while still staying faithful? Please let me know because we have so much in common. Our parents love our partners and we have the same ideals, beliefs, and we just love being with each other. I would just hate having this one thing split us apart. Hopefully you read this. Oh, and we did. Signed, Avery. Fake name, LOL. Thanks for writing in, Avery.
Yeah. One, I hate the term sapiosexual. I feel like it's ableist because we're all attracted to intelligence as people. And there are many different types of intelligences. So to say that you're, when people say they're sapiosexual, they're pointing to one kind of intelligence. I don't know what all of they are, but like, you know,
I mean, emotional intelligence.
Yeah, like, you know what someone is saying, and it's like, that just feels very ableist to me. It sounds to me, and I don't know your partner, but he might be on like the ace spectrum. He might be somewhere between asexual or demisexual or something like that, because now all of a sudden, and I'm sure you're intelligent, you know, I'm sure you guys have stimulating conversations and whatnot, whatever gets him going. But now all of a sudden he's like dry humping you when nothing before did anything to him or nothing solo did anything for him. In terms of what you can do,
I don't really know how like the Bible works because I didn't really engage with it all like that when I was younger. But maybe like bringing sex toys in without, because isn't it like penetration is the thing that you're not supposed to be doing?
I mean, honestly, that is a good point, because at the end of the day, they're already dry humping.
Yeah, you're like, you're moving lustfully. You are moving quite lustfully. So if, I mean, I guess, but I like think explore.
The thing about it is the ejaculation portion of it. Like if he were to, because it's like if you're doing like a mutual masturbation thing.
Oh, just is saying. It? I don't know. Yeah, because
it's like the ejaculation of is like the of a spilling seed without the purpose of getting somebody pregnant.
So I feel like the conversation should start with
what his boundaries are.
Yeah, what you guys define as sex, because someone can include some other Christian or religious person can include this dry humping as sex, and we done already fucked up.
True.
You know, where
are you dry humping with clothes on?
Yeah, it seems like. I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
But even that could be like sin for someone, you know, overzealously religious or whatever. Like everyone's idea and boundaries of what sex are is, you know, unique to them. Some people will say that only P and V is sex and we'll do everything else. Whereas I'm like, nigga, y'all fucking. Like, so, you know, kind of figuring out what that is. And then if you can play around in it, you know, if it is just, you know, P and V, then it's like, all right, so I got my vibrator in the car. Yeah. How you feel about that?
Or if it's like genitals touching and, you know, vibrator, fleshlight, something.
If all of it is a no for him, are you okay with continuing to finish yourself off with your vibrator?
Like, well, she wouldn't even be going, right? Because that's the thing. It's a quote unquote tempting.
Oh, so like you will never see him again?
No, I think it's just having like these dry humping sessions.
Oh, so like if you stop that, can you? Like,
I think like here there has to be some sort of like, obviously you're writing into us. So like, I'm not saying like, fuck this nigga or anything like that. But like, I think you have to sit hard and long and evaluate what you truly want.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be just like, okay, we're not going to do any like lusty type shit at all until we get married. Or maybe like, that's not what you want. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But like, you have to like really sit down and think about that, because you might stop all the lusty shit and then end up like resenting the fact that that was cut out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that you spent this time.
Yeah. So I would say like start with yourself first and what you want. And then from there, like, or at the same time, you can talk about what his boundaries are in terms of like what sex means
and what he wants.
Yeah, that's also true, because I mean, he said all these things, but what is he really trying to say? Like, oh, I'm tempted, or oh, I feel like a villain. But like, what do you want?
You know,
what are you actually saying?
Is he saying these things to kind of put the onus on you? Right. So if something does happen, it's like, oh,
exactly,
you know, I was tempted, when he really wants something further to go on, and he's mm-hmm. conflicted about breaking his own promise.
Mm.
So like trying to put the blame on you in a sense. Are yeah. you tempting me?
Are you
rethinking it? Are you trying to fuck, or you want to hold exactly. this out? You know, exactly. what do you want?
Yeah. And by having this conversation, I'm not saying it's an ultimatum like, nigga, let's fuck. But like, really, you sit down and think about what you want and we'll talk about it.
Because for him, this may have never happened. You know, you might be in a relationship in which he is now mostly attached to you and not having these sexual feelings and trying to figure it out for himself.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, it's easy to be a virgin, quote unquote, if you were like on the A spectrum and nobody ever got you sexually excited
and, yeah,
before.
Nobody, you like, all right, cool.
The promise to God was a lot easier then yeah. before you ever had sexual feelings for somebody.
Until the variables started coming in. So now yeah. it's like he might be also confused about it.
Mm-hmm.
But conversation needs to be had. Some introspection first with yourself before getting into the conversation can help you understand what kind of conversation you're having, what are we going to talk about, where are we leading it, and if it is, hopefully it is, well, not hopefully, but if it is a relationship you want to continue, you know, it takes work.
Yeah,
this is the first, if we're talking about marriage or hoping that this leads to marriage or some type of long life commitment,
mm-hmm.
this is the kind of stuff we gotta go through, you know. These are yeah. the conversations and the thoughts and the things you gotta go through. So
yeah,
it's practice.
Can guarantee he won't be open to this, just given all of the clues here, but maybe it's time to open your relationship up and mm-hmm. you get your sexual satisfaction elsewhere.
That's a thought. Are you a polyamorous bitch, or are you monogamous too?
Mm-hmm. Or are you ethically non-monogamous and not necessarily polyamorous?
True.
Because you can like just be fucking people out here.
The concept of saving yourself from marriage for me is just like, not that it doesn't make sense, but when you have a promise like that, it also means that your idea of sex is skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Which likely means that your idea of sex is very traditional.
Mm-hmm.
So like, sex is like pleasurable, but it's meant for procreation.
Right.
And sex is pleasurable, but it's all the other things that go into it. It's like, does your orgasm matter, kind of mm-hmm. thing? Because it's like, well, I finished, I'm better than you, kind of thing. So it's also not just what do you want, but also when we do finally cross that bridge, what does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does sex mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is
yeah.
sex something that you actually, even though you never had it, let's say that sex feels twice as good as dry hopping does, but is that something that we'd be doing for you? Like, would my orgasm even matter to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just like if I don't want you to fucking nut in me, like, is that okay if you don't get me pregnant every time we have sex? Like, are you against contraception? Like, you know, I think that especially if you're a person who was priorly sexually active, these are important questions if you're considering, because if you're with somebody who's waiting to have sex when they're married, it means that you're probably thinking that this is a prospective partner that you would like to spend your life with. So you also don't want to sign up for something that you, cause you know what you like at this point, or you know what you would like. And there's a good chance that you're probably not going to get it. Cause I mean, like, things change, but in that realm, when it comes to like, I am saving myself for God. So sex is a religious connotation to it. It really does change what sex really means and how sex is even had. I mean, that's just something that I've experienced firsthand. It's just like when real heavy Christianity comes into it, it doesn't mean that it can't be pleasurable, and it doesn't mean you can't explore other boundaries, but the likelihood of it becomes a lot slimmer because it's like Christian men.
Religious men.
It's men, because it's already hard with men to begin with, especially men who are not sexually experienced. Mm-hmm. And then we're talking about a Christian man.
Yeah.
So I would say to go even further than right now, because if you're with him at this point, it's because you really think that there's a future. So you might want to look further than your current satisfaction. Like, what can we do now until we get married and we can actually have sex? Mm-hmm. But then also, what happens when we get married? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Is it gonna be like a one and done?
We had sex.
All right. You know?
No, that's a good point. I do want to, like, what you said in the end, like, the chances are very, like, low that you might be sexually satisfied because of all of the stigma attached to sex in Christianity, but I don't want to outright say you're not going to get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to discourage you from having this conversation in the first place. Yeah. Obviously, like, pleasure is important to him. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, your pleasure is also important to him, but yeah.
Definitely have those conversations.
Yeah.
You might be surprised.
Have a lot of conversations also. Yeah. Yes. Whenever we say have conversations on this show, it's not just one. It's like ongoing conversations.
Serial conversations.
Even if, like, in the outcome of the first conversation, he's like, yeah, I want to fuck, I would say keep talking before you actually do it.
Before you jump into it, because
yeah. So, sex means, as we said, sex means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it might not mean the same thing to you as it does to him. Mm-hmm. It really might be something that is very, like, personal, but for you it's like pleasure but also getting closer. Like, it could be like a very spiritual experience for you and a sinful experience for him.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to really contemplate on do you guys' morals match up on that realm too, because you don't want to feel shamed for wanting to do some wild shit.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's not with the shits, you can not be with something, but you know, it's another thing to make somebody feel ashamed for wanting that.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah. I hope that helped, Avery. We're going to end the episode now because it's been a grip of a minute. But if you guys have future things that you want to write in, please write them into itpodcast@gmail.com and include your pronouns. And Avery, if you want to, like, keep us updated on the situation, we would love to continue to follow your story, but good luck, whatever that means, you know.
So if you guys would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. You can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe or check out our merchandise. You can join our Facebook community, which is
Inaho Uprising community. Spelled with a U.
You guys can follow me at Akua. At Hey Akua
Girl. Hey Akua
Girl on Twitter and IG.
Yes, on Twitter and Instagram. You're imagine welcome. If that's the name of the episode.
Hey Akua.
Hey Akua.
Mad use. And it's just a picture of Akua, even though it's all of us. It's just Akua. That's really funny.
Go ahead, Rob.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, I'm clint.yeetwood on Instagram. I'm rob_god on Twitter. Cash at me, Rob Simp. I gotta plug that because niggas is running low on cash because they are not working between jobs.
Do that. You can follow me at slamrid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego on Instagram for travel and foodos. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.